Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie! What's up this week?
Hi, Barbara. We're wet here in the Northwest. Welcome to episode 150 of the Groom Pod, recorded on January 21st, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week, we're going to talk about hiring a groomer, bicarbonate ions, and the bathing systems that use the tablets and the Nayuji, or I can't say that. What is that name, Barbara?
Is it Nagayu?
That's it. Nagayu. I was close.
Nagayu.
Not really. Nagoya.
It's, you know, it's something in there.
Yes. We're going to talk about that again, and also how to make happy faces. So if you'd like to join us on Facebook, you can ask your questions at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher and on iTunes, on Google Play. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, donation button, and Patreon stuff at www.thegroompod.com. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. How's your week been?
Hey, I had a pleasant week, and I made a discovery. Well, this is a little teeny discovery that I thought might be of value to our listeners. This is what happened. I sometimes shop at CVS.
Yep.
So I like CVS, and they're right next to my bank. They're right in between my bank and McDonald's. So I can go make a bank deposit, shop, and buy a burger.
I like it.
So occasionally I go in there, and CVS has a shelf that's caught what I would call the dollar store shelf.
Oh.
Yeah, so they have this shelf of this whatever, it varies from month to month, stuff, little items that you can get for like $1 to $3. And I picked up a little notepad system that because Yvonne likes to have something there that she can write notes on when she takes in dogs. And I bought her a nice new one for 2018. And then I picked up a pair of clothes dryer balls.
Have you seen them? Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
You know, with the little spikies on them. You know,
yep.
And it was like $2 or $3 for this pair of balls. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And what I discovered is that those dryer balls are excellent for removing dog hair from towels and dog beds.
Oh, you mean like in the dryer, like actually just using them as they're supposed to be used?
Yeah, just using them as they're supposed to be used in the dryer. And I did, I had two dog beds that had hair all stuffed in around the seam where the sides came up, you know, like down in there, and a lot of static hair on the bottom of them. And they came out of the dryer like new.
Like, wow.
The Velcro was, not Velcro. What's that other V word? Anyway.
Vagina. I don't know.
The soft, fluffy side.
Oh, velour.
Velour.
Velour, velvet. The fluffy.
Yeah, the velvety side. It was just like hair-free. And then the smooth inner side, no hair balls at all.
Wow.
And normally, I have to pick and scrape hair off of the, you know, the dog beds after they've been through the washer and dryer. And I didn't have to do any of that. So, yahoo!
Okay, so I got a question.
Yeah.
part of the problem with our dryer and washer in my house is that it's just very close to where we watch TV. Do the balls bounce around and make noise?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah,
okay. Might not work for me. Still, for the dog beds, it would work good.
Yeah, well, you would just have to time your laundry.
Yes.
Dryer balls were a surprise find. They leave my towels. They also help to remove hair accumulation on grooming towels and that kind of thing. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's nice.
So what else happened this week is that we have a replacement for Milton the Schnauzer, the naughty Schnauzer that seems to have kind of faded from our view since the daughter moved away to college.
Bringing the dog.
Well, see, the brother,
right,
owns the dog, and they, you know, like they begged off one appointment, saying everybody in the house had the flu, and haven't called me back, and I'm not going to stalk.
No,
I'm not going to stalk a really difficult Schnauzer, even though I was committed to helping these people groom that dog. If they, you know, like he'll either show up somewhere down the line or not. But in the meanwhile, one of our local vets referred me another Schnauzer that the lady couldn't groom. And we had a big, successful grooming experience. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It was difficult, and the dog was like hyper reactive. And at first, from her carrier, she was acting like she was going to be aggressive to me. But I sat down next to the, I had the woman, I've got side by side chairs out in my front. And oftentimes, when I meet new dogs, I sit the owner in one of those chairs and they hold the dog and I sit in the other chair and I talk with them and eventually I end up touching the dog and we see what happens, you know? And so by the time we finished the conversation in the chairs, I had the dog in my arms and she was doing fine.
Okay.
But she's a very hyper reactive Schnauzer and she was badly matted. It was like a 7-blade all over and a little bit of 10 work here and there. And I had Yvonne sit with the dog for at least 20 minutes while I finished another dog. And then together we worked on this dog and just did a really good job. And I was even able to make something of eyebrows and a little schnauzery face. And the owner was just ecstatic.
Excellent.
And it was exceeded expectations. I charged an extra fee and she tipped. And I didn't have treats available to give the dog because our house mouse got into my Trader Joe's treats and shit in the treats, so we had to throw them away to the squirrel. Because you can't give mouse shit treats to your dogs, to your client dogs.
Nope, not even your own dogs.
Not even your own dogs. Nope. So anyway, she brought in a little bucket of treats for us
when nice.
when she came to pick the dogs up. So that was nice. So we have that was a win. And it was kind of fun. I felt kind of like you, where the dog came from the vet's, you know, recommendation and all of that. And I asked her at the end, because she was so happy, I said, oh, would you do one thing for me and call back to the vet office and tell them that you had a good experience so that they'll know that it worked out. And she said, yeah, I'll do that. And can I say something on what Yelp for you? I said, oh yeah, you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So that worked out. And other than that, the downside, shall I share the downside?
Sure.
I had a lot of pain from my hands this week.
Oh.
And I had one dog. Well, I had two dogs that were so awful about their nails that I threw and broke two different pairs of
nail clippers.
Yeah.
I got a funny story.
Okay, I want to be clear because this is a national audience. I did not throw the nail clippers at the dog, right?
Barbara, international audience.
International audience. Well, I did not throw the nail clippers, but I turned away from the dog and threw with great deal of force the nail clippers onto the floor. And immediately the spring sprung and got lost. And so there's that one. And then I had another pair of clippers and another dog. They just were struggling so much. It was hurting my hand so bad that I was in tears. And I went home and cried.
Oh, that's not good.
I know, but it's just... I love to groom, but it hurts so bad when that happened. And so I was able, the next day, when Yvonne came by for our morning rendezvous before she opens.
Yes.
I told her, I said, she knew that I felt bad at the end of the day. And she apologized. I said, no, it wasn't your fault. I said, I had my own breakdown, and it was because it hurt so bad. I said, Yvonne, I really, really need you to help me with the nails on these dogs. I know that you can't do every one. I know that your hands hurt too, but this is going to be a deal breaker for me. And
did she agree?
Yeah, she said, and and we've been there before.
I know. I was going to mention that, but yeah, you got to make some adjustments there.
It's
my funny story.
Okay.
I have the nail cap thingy, protector thing on top of my Dremel, right?
Right.
So, and I use the Dremel on every dog. So I'm Dremeling away last night, and I was Dremeling away thinking, I guess it was the night before, thinking, gosh, it's taken a long time to get this dog done, and I wonder why. And then, of course, I think, I wish I was at Disneyland, and how my mind wanders. And then I moved on. And then yesterday when I was working, I thought, well, maybe I should look at my sanding band. Well, it had become a buffing band.
had no grit?
The whole center had no grit on it. And I was trying to file nails with it, and I put on a new sanding band yesterday, and I was like, oh. Well, that explains a lot. It's a lot easier to Dremel nails. I mean, it's a lot quicker to Dremel nails. And I had cranked up the motor. So I was like really fast trying to figure
out. Yeah, I think that my diamond, bit is ready to be replaced. I've used it for about a year now.
Right, a year.
That's pretty good. So, but I'm experiencing something of the same thing. You think you're Dremeling, but it's making a sound and there's some kind of dust coming off, but not much action.
And it's bugging the dog. So, you're going through all the motions. but not taking anything off. Oh, that was so funny. You know what else happened this week to me? I told you last week that I had lost Mojo, Maureen's dog.
Right.
Randomly out of the blue, I got a text message. Do you know anyone who needs an 8-month-old Bichon puppy?
Oh my God.
I know. Now Maureen's going to the Antarctic right now on a cruise ship. She actually leaves tomorrow. And of course we just lost Mojo last week, but Mojo was 14 and it was an end of life. He made it to the finish line kind of a situation. So I just randomly texted her and said, do you think you might be interested in this puppy? He needs a new home. So I called and talked to the people yesterday. Actually, it was so funny. So I got the message from Sharon, our groomer friend.
Sharon. Right.
Sharon got the message from her trainer. The trainer got the message from a dog walker, and the dog walker is the one who knows the 90-year-old lady. So I called I didn't know who I was calling, if it was the daughter or if it was the 90-year-old lady or if it was somebody else. Well, it turned out to be the dog walker who I spoke to, and she was lovely. And she said that the lady's having second thoughts, but she's pretty sure she will come around to the end. She paid $1,000 for the dog from a bad backyard breeder who immediately disappeared. The dog was a return. They got no papers on it. $1,000 for a dog with no papers. I know. And it's a female. So Maureen's never had a female. So that'll be different. But I think probably a better fit for her giganta chihuahua. So, yeah, it'll be because he's a boy. So anyway, that made me feel good. So she's all on board. She was into it. So, okay. I get to do that.
So good.
Yes. So that's good. Yeah. And I've been practicing my scissoring.
Yes.
I have decided to not... So to look into the face of fluffy legs, I want to look right in the eyes of the fluffy legs, and I'm going to make them work for me. So I do okay on the back feet. It's the front feet that I have the most challenges with. So I have been working on skimming down the outside of the leg on the front. Yay. And then trying to scissor everything else to match just for practice, just to get better, to get more comfortable at the visual that I always have a problem. It's not the same length. The hair isn't the same length. That drives me crazy that I can't just let that go. So I've been working on that with my new Evolution shears, and I'm having really good progress with it. So that's been cool. I feel like I'm making leaps and bounds worth of strides on my fluffy leg haircuts.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm there for you with fluffy legs, girlfriend. I'm there for you.
And I keep trying to remember something that I put out of my head all too often is make a box and round off the corners. Make a box of the foot and then round off the corners and start with the front of the box so that the box is straight. You know, I'm doing a lot of drop coat dogs, so the feet turn in and the feet turn out and they go all different directions. And sometimes one turns in and one turns out. And I'm trying to make them look decent by hiding all that structure. And then I go and whack off the toes and make it, you know, the pointy toe thing. So I've really, really, really been practicing, Barbara, and I start to take a few pictures. Also, my doodles are getting faster on my doodles.
Good, good. Yep. Well, I had an experience with scissors this week that was fun. And what happened was that I took a new pair of scissors out of my garage sale inventory.
Hey,
I said, I like these. Let's see what happens. So this is a 6-inch area Seikert curved convex blades.
Okay.
And it was one of their better models, one of their more expensive models. I said, I need to see how this works. And I took it down and Boy, heaven, that super fine, sharp edge.
I love it.
That 6 inches of sharpness, that it's really helping my, especially a mouse and shaping the faces and that kind of thing. I'm getting nice detailing is what I'm trying to say. Really good scissoring out of these scissors. And that made me appreciate for the 100,000,000th time what a difference good shears make. And having the right size scissor for you to do your job. I still don't understand how people take 10-inch shears and do little teeny Asian faces with the tips. I really don't get it. But these scissors definitely improved my result. And so now I'm 100% on board of sending some of my others out for sharpening.
And, good idea. It makes a difference. You know, and I, over the years, I swung like to the German edge and then I swung over to the Japanese edge. And I was all about the really long shears there for a while, but I am now all about the really short, really crisp shears. And what I found is that there is a lot of range in what I like to do with my shears. I know it's not good to change shears all the time, but I'm always switching shears. You know, I'll grab the evolutions and I'll do the underline of the dog, and then I'll go down to the feet, and I actually want those teeny tiny detailing scissors for that. So I grab those, and then I go down and trying to scissor the legs, and I'll grab the evolution straights for the back. But on the front, I like my bent shanks. So I'll grab those and work around the front. I didn't realize how many different uses and different styles of scissors I use personally. And my biggest issue with my evolution shears right now, Chris, because I know you're listening, is it turns out I didn't realize how much of a flipper I am. I'm a flipper. I'm a flipper in a big, bad way. I flip those curves and I use them backwards on the opposite sides of the dog all the time. I can't really do that with the evolution shears. So I cannot go fully exclusively to evolution shears and not use something else. I'm going to always have a variety of shears, but I do really enjoy using my evolution shears, and they're definitely a regular part of my arsenal. I mean, I would now not want to go without them. I like them. They make my thumb feel happy. They allow me to scissor in different directions that I can't do with regular shears without squirreling my wrist all up. You know, they're very interesting and they have a place in my arsenal. And I would have never known that had it not been for them coming to us and trying to convince us to use them and to buy a little space on our advertising. So I really appreciate that I stuck to it for this long and found a place for swivel thumbs in my arsenal. So how are you doing with your swivel thumbs?
I'm coming along. I use them mostly on the bigger dogs because I'm really sorry that I asked for the larger chunkers because they're just heavy in my hand. I mean, not that it's a particularly heavy shear. It's just that much metal is going to be heavy in my very sensitive hand. And I mean, versus, for example, the little 6-inch convex blades that I picked up to take down there. One of the reasons that I'm liking those so much is that I don't even feel them in my hand. Have you ever tried to do it? You know, I was watching some barbering videos. I love to watch hairdressers and barbers do their thing on YouTube. I was watching some fancy barbers doing their thing, and they were like holding their shears and their comb in the same hand and just flipping their shears underneath them to comb up. And God, that was funny, the way that they can just palm those scissors. And, you know, like, you can't do that with a 8-inch sword. You have to set them down and pick them up again. And just doing that consumes time. But I'm like you. I actually from a small pile of shears on every dog.
Yeah, you know? I didn't realize how much of that I do.
Yeah. I do that. Yeah.
But these shears have worked their way in. I grab for them automatically now for certain parts of the dog. I'm really happy to have them. And if you guys are interested in getting some evolution shears, you can find them at evolutionshears.com, or their phone number is 877-560-3057. And remember to ask for Chris and tell her the Groom Pod sent you. All right, Barbara, should we take a break and then go to our first appointment?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their 3-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their 3-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Our first appointment today is titled, How to Catch a Groomer. Because it seems to me like I use a lot of fishing analogies when I think about hiring someone. It's just like throwing a hook into a pool and seeing what comes out. You never know. So I don't like being a boss. I'm not a good boss. I end up picking up all the slack, doing all the work for everybody that doesn't work, and then, you know, not firing them when they've been there too long. Most of my bossing experience has to do with pizza places. So I haven't really been a boss in a grooming salon, but I imagine it's much the same. But what I do know about a grooming salon, and pretty much any grooming business, is it's really difficult to find an experienced groomer, a groomer who's ready to go out of the box. And you used to have employees. I mean, you still have Yvonne, but I mean, you used to employ other groomers, right?
Right. And I can't say that that was enormously successful. I mean, and I did that back in a time when my standards weren't exactly the same as they are now.
Right.
So there was a time where other groomers' grooming was more interchangeable with mine than is now.
Right.
Very now, now it's really hard for me to find someone whose style can interchange with mine without noticeable difference, you know? And I just found it's hard to find somebody that is gonna just fit in with your operation. And that's the most important thing. It has to do with their skills and their speed, but also their style of work and their willingness to team play and to do things like answer phone calls and make appointments and clean up their grooming area and take the trash out. You know, there again, be a team player. Others, you know, like so often I would have groomers that just want to come in, do their assigned dogs and leave, leaving me with dog hair everywhere, towels on the floor, you know, the phone.
Yeah, I understand. I have a difficult enough time sharing space with someone in general, but to actually share grooming space has never been something I've really embraced. It's distracting for me to have somebody else in the room with me anyway, you know, shiny object over here kind of thing. Yeah, I find myself wanting to tell jokes or talk about stuff instead of doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is paying attention to the dogs. And to your point, there isn't dog handling skills out there like mine. You know, it's not the grooming for me, but it's the dog handling skills. So I've collected a bunch of people who have, over the years, some challenging dogs, and I couldn't just hand them over to somebody else. But when you had to hire somebody, if you were going to hire somebody today, let's say, where would you go to put an ad? What would you do? Like, my first thought is Facebook is really helpful in that way.
Yeah, I think Facebook and, you know, the big difference now is that I would not hire anybody without pictures of their grooming, yeah, references, and all of that kind of stuff. This thing about hiring somebody that just happens in at the right moment when you're desperate is not such a good idea.
Quite risky. So I say the really best way is through networking with other groomers in the area. You know, let people know you're looking to hire. Let the vendors in the area know you're looking to hire. Let some of the vets know you're looking to hire. Word of mouth is a big deal. This is a very small industry. Even in a city as big as Seattle, it's a pretty small industry. And reputations get around. And if you want to change locations, you can put your word out there and it'll eventually get to somebody who's in the neighborhood you're hoping to move to, hopefully. So that's one way. Facebook has national groups and it has local groups. So hit both of those, because sometimes people relocate. Actually, millions of people are relocating here. So it pays to put it on some of the larger groups if you're looking to hire some help. Craigslist throws a very wide net as far as who you're going to get to respond to your ads. While it can be good, it can also mean a lot of work weeding people out. And I mean a lot of people who think they'd like to learn how to groom dogs, or, you know, somebody who has groomed their own dogs or stuff.
Yeah. I know. And people who are just like desperate for work and think this is a low skilled job.
Yeah.
And
so Craigslist is a little rough. Wide net. There's a lot of what they call bycatch in the net. Facebook. Bycatch are those other fish that you can't really use. You gotta just weed through them and throw them back. Yeah, a lot of bycatch in the Craigslist net.
I know. And that's hard, because then you have to say no a lot. You know, like saying you don't qualify or saying no thank you it's difficult when you know people need a job or whatever, you know. But you just, the hardest thing for me is finding people who are actually going to stay. Yeah. Because most often everybody seems to want to open up their own place. And
it is the goal of most of us, but it's not the goal of all of us.
But it's not the goal of all of us. And so, you know, you just have to put it out there and be clear about your expectations.
Yeah. So you receive all these, like, I don't know, you receive 5 different people contacts from your Facebook ad, right? 5 different people come up and want to interview. So you invite them over individually and you look at their first impression. First impression is always really important. So you just get the whatever you feel, notice that when they come in the door, notice what you're feeling, and then be prepared to have a conversation with this person. You know, first, I suppose you do it on the phone. Right? You call and you set up the interview and you get the first impression over the phone. Then you see them in person. They come to your shop and you have a discussion with them about their experience. And after being a groomer for long enough, you can weed out the bullshitters. Ooh, I said a swear. You can weed them out.
Congratulations! You dropped the shit bomb!
Yes, I did. And I did it and didn't even realize it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you've been hanging around me for a while.
It rubs off. So, you know, kind of have a conversation in a very casual way. Find out their experience, what they're comfortable with. Have some grooming chat so you can throw some terms out. Talk about what breeds they like. Talk about what styles they groom in. Get some personal information. What kind of hours can they work? Do they have children? Is there a family situation? Do they rent or do they buy? You know, are they living in a home where they're going to be here for a while? All kinds of stuff like that. Do they live locally? Do they have a car? These are things that I'll help people keep a job.
Here's a question to ask or to open a conversation. It can be valuable to ask, what kinds of grooming accidents have you had in the past?
Very clever, Barbara.
Isn't that?
Because it'll tell you how long they've been grooming. It'll tell you how honest they are.
It'll tell you how often they have accidents. Boo-boos. Yep. I had one guy volunteer. I didn't even ask the question, but it was from then on that I knew I wanted to ask the question. Volunteered that he had gashed a 7-inch long cut on a old English sheepdog that he was clipping down with a 7-blade.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that would make you question the next person. Well, that's a really interesting question to bring up, because it opens a further conversation. And that's what you're looking for when you've got somebody in an interview, is that further conversation. Another thing, like you had mentioned before, is find out what their expectations for the job is. What are they expecting to get out of the job? Are they looking for permanent employment? Are they ready to just head out the door as soon as they get competent, you know, or are they going to steal your clients? You know, what are they looking for? Are they looking for a mentorship? Because if they come up in front and say they're looking for a mentorship, you can make a decision whether you want to take on somebody who you know is going to go out the door, or whether you want to look for somebody in a more permanent situation, as long as you can. But people aren't upfront with that stuff. You've got to drag it out of them.
You can also ask questions about dog handling.
Well, yes.
Can just say, you know, like, and you can do this in a conversational way of, you know, like, what aggravates you the most? You know, what pushes your buttons? How do you handle it when somebody pushes your buttons? I was really angry at myself for my little temper tantrum the other day that I threw I broke nail clippers. I mean, I haven't done that kind of an acting out in a long time, years.
Yes, time for an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Yes, go outside for a minute and come back in new.
Yeah, in my case, it was almost instant because I just like turned away from the dog and then I realized, well, this is not how I want to be, you know.
Bite the dog and put yourself in a crate, did you? Because
no,
I know something.
No.
Oh, goodness. All right, so they've made it through. They've contacted you. You talked to them on the phone. You got them in the door. You kind of think you like them, but you're not 100% positive. Time for a working interview. Do you do a working interview?
I have, yeah. Well, that's how I found out from the guy that he had cut the old English sheepdog, is that he was doing a groom for me.
I think the best way to find if somebody fits into your shop is that working interview. And I usually try to schedule an easy dog and one that shows some more skill involved, you know, an easy haircut, like a strip down, and then one that has some scissoring, sometimes a breed profile, preferably. So you can kind of cover the gambit of all the skills that they need to show. Now, if they show up for their working interview and they're nervous, whining, shaking, drooling, or restless, don't hire them. Because they're going to have a seizure.
Especially the drooling part. Yes. That means they've done too many drugs to handle their anxiety of the job interview.
Yep. So watch how they come in. Watch how they're dressed. Did they come dressed appropriately for grooming? This is the perfect place to check their dog handling skills and their grooming skills, but dog handling skills especially, because you can tell if they get aggravated, if the dog pulls their foot away or things like that. That's why a working interview is so important for grooming jobs, you know? And the other thing is you can kind of tell if they're trainable, because it's helpful to have someone that's not set in their ways, someone that will adjust with you, someone that can switch, you know, the way they think and try new things and is not going to balk at that.
Yeah, I want to tell you one of the funny things, one of my funny hiring experiences is that I hired this woman. She gave me references. I even called a previous employer in California, and I should have guessed by the way they sort of hedged around that they were afraid to say what was on their mind. But I didn't pick up on it. Anyway, 2 days after I hired her, she asked for an advance because she needed to get her prescription for bipolar refilled.
Whoops. How long did she last, Barbara?
Oh, man, that was one of the hardest because she was scary. And she was, you know, like, I mean, and then she shared that, you know, ask them what their interest in music is, because she revealed that she was deep into the goth thing, you know, bipolar into the goth thing, you know, it just got worse and worse, you know, and then she used to, her way of drying the dogs was to use a cone nozzle on the high velocity dryer and whip mats into the coat and then rip them out with a comb. And when I came running to the dog's rescue, she said, "This is how I was taught to do it."
Oh, you know? Boy.
And, you know, and she had dogs peeing on her and, you know, oh man, it just got worse. And, you know, I couldn't get rid of her fast enough, but I couldn't get rid of her fast because I didn't want her like burning my place down or something. So So I just like gradually reduced my business, you know, like I just didn't have enough to keep her employed, you know, so she had to go somewhere else. And at that other place, she attacked a customer.
Oh, you bailed just in time.
I bailed just in time. She went through a gate and attacked a customer that criticized her work. Oh, man, just in time. It was, you know, like how, and that was just a matter of hiring out of desperation.
Yeah.
It does not pay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I hate being an employer. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this. You know, people always ask me, why don't you get another vehicle and, you know, have an employee? But
I'm so happy. especially how hard is it to hire someone to do a mobile for you where you can't see they're working, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm amazed that Aussie Mobile has done so well for themselves, because that's got to be hard. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to supervise that. It's hard to know the quality control. I would be nuts.
Yeah.
I would be nuts worrying about what was going on that I wasn't seeing.
Me too.
The only way that I could put someone in a mobile van is if they worked side by side with me for, you know, a year or two, and then I had a van and I sent them out to be mobile, you know.
Yeah, well, I can't expect people to tell the good stories. You know, not everyone's a storyteller. So unless I could find someone who's a really good storyteller, I don't think they'd fit well in my business plan. So, you know, last thing I need is somebody showing up on time and doing a good job. That would be terrible. All right, let's take a break and hear from South Park, and then we're going to go back to school.
All right, now.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Park's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Park's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com, or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, veterinary vocabulary time. Ataxia. Ataxia. Do you know what that means?
I am going to admit that I am not, that I am recognizing the term, but failing to provide the definition.
Yeah, it's one of those terms where it's doctors talking to doctors would probably use this term, but we just call it impaired balance or coordination. And the time that we see this most is, of course, dogs that go into heat stroke and they start to stagger, especially in the bathtub. When you're bathing a dog, if you're using a little bit too hot of water and the dog is a senior dog, they'll often start to stagger and almost fall over and become uncoordinated. That is ataxia. So there you go.
I had ataxia yesterday.
Your own self?
No.
Good.
I have ataxia every day. That's why I have canes.
Right.
Yeah. It's a wine induced ataxia. Substance induced ataxia. No, this was my favorite. I'm gonna cry.
Uh oh.
One of my favorite doodles of my favorite customer, George and Gracie. Gracie is suffering from terrible arthritis in her hips, and she can't stand well on the grooming table, and so we hold up her rear end with a flank strap. But what I had her all strapped up, and I was using the clipper vac, and I was just clipping her as quickly as I could with an old comb. And I picked up a front leg to just get the inside of that leg real good, and she lost her balance.
Yeah.
And she fell in the straps.
Yeah.
And fortunately, the neck strap wasn't too tight, but she came just partly dislodged from the flank strap, and it scared both of us.
Yeah.
And
it's tough to get old.
It's, you know, and it breaks my heart. And I wasn't sure. You can't tell when the dog is kind of experiencing difficulty anyway. You can't tell whether your little episode increased the situation, made it worse or not. And I had to relate to the customer that had happened.
Absolutely.
And it was hard. And it's just, those two dogs are so damn good. And these people come every 4 weeks and they tip and they sing songs to me.
I just found out, yeah, one of the doodles I added is moving in April. And it's a perfect little one. She's the most perfect little dog named Twinkie. I love Twinkie, and I really am sad that they're going to leave. But I've got a few more months with her. But I just didn't.
So, you know, like, so the truth is with Gracie, I just, you know, like, we already have had the conversation that the grooming expectation is different now, that, you know, I'm just doing her as quickly and as fast as I can. We're not going for the detailing, but I did make her face and head look really cute.
Perfect. 'Cause
she, you know, so, but I had to have that again, and you know, and they just brushed it off like, don't worry about it, you just do the best you can, you're fine. And they still tip me $40, you know.
Well, they love you. Well, and I understand why.
Yeah, they sang me a duet. They sang me my birthday song. They said, this is your birthday song, it's not very long. Yeah.
Very nice. That's fabulous. All right. Let's go to our grooming glossary.
Okay. What we got?
The stop. We all hopefully know what the stop is. But just to review, the step up from the muzzle to the back skull. So when you think about stops, which dog comes to mind? Which breed?
Oh, like.
I always think Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have some of the most extreme.
Yeah, I always think Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzus too, yeah, extreme stops.
And, well, everybody has a stop of some sort.
Right, some are more slopey, like Wheaton's, and some bad Airedales. Slopey.
We call that the ski jump face.
Yes, for sure. A lot of Wheatons have that one. Okay. Tell me, for our definition du jour, about those crazy tablet bathing systems. Again, we've talked about it a few times, probably three or four times at least, but it keeps reoccurring because it's a new technology. So they were talking about bicarbonate. Like, isn't that baking soda? Bicarbonate of soda is baking soda, right?
Bicarbonate of soda is baking soda, but sodium bicarbonate, there's also ammonium bicarbonate. Plain bicarbonate is not necessarily baking soda, but here's the funny thing about this bicarbonate. I looked up bicarbonate in the chemistry encyclopedia.
Yes.
And it said there that bicarbonate cannot penetrate the lipid layer of the skin. So this assertion that the tablet marketers are making, that the tablets, I'm going to groomingtab.com. We've looked at both the Nagayo package, and then the grooming tab is more about the tablet. Here's the ingredients of the tablet. You ready?
I'm ready.
See, on the bottle, it says, a compressed tablet consisting of carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and bicarbonate. Well, excuse me. Carbon dioxide and hydrogen are gases, Susie.
I was wondering about that.
You can't press gas into a tablet. It's gas.
Right.
You know, so that's inaccurate and wrong right there.
Well, are they talking about the molecular structure containing hydrogen, oxygen, and bicarbonates or whatever?
No. The actual ingredients of the grooming tabs for the Nagayo bath are sodium bicarbonate, citric acid, sodium carbonate, PEG-6000, and sodium caprylyl sulfonate. Now, that's not what it says on the package.
Right.
Right?
Right, not at all.
That's not what it says on the package. And sodium carbonate and PEG-6000 are binders for making tablets. You know, but what this sounds like with the sodium bicarbonate and the citric acid is it's like bath bomb for pets.
Okay, I have a bath bomb. I know what that is.
You know, sodium caprylyl sulfonate.
So the bath bomb, you put it in the water and it fizzes all by itself, right?
Yeah, it's the action of the citric acid and the sodium bicarbonate makes a fizzy kind of... So I think that what happens is that the action of the citric acid on the sodium bicarbonate releases hydrogen and carbon dioxide.
Okay. So
it
creates a reaction.
The tablet doesn't consist of that, but in the water, it creates that.
Right. Yeah, because it's an acid and a base, right?
Right. Here on the bottle, goes on to say, the system adds ions into the rinse following the shampoo, which has been an effective medical treatment on humans for years. I have searched.
Oh. Now, see, I'm gullible. I'm like, okay.
I have searched and I have not found this particular medical treatment. Now, it may be true that healing springs, hot springs in Nagayo were frequented for people and known to have a healing effect, okay? But you cannot, it's like trying to recreate a synthetic essential oil, you know? I mean, those hot springs, there's minerals, there's temperature, there's all kinds of additional ingredients that besides this citric acid and sodium bicarbonate thing. Right?
Right.
Just creating some loose carbon dioxide and hydrogen in the water, I just don't think that it's going to be all that helpful.
Do you think it's going to acidify the skin or anything like that?
What I want to know is, what is the pH of the water that you're spraying, rinsing through the animal?
After the tablet is expelled, it's stuck?
After the tablet is dissolved in the water, what is that pH? And somebody needs to do that for me.
Scott.
You know.
Scott's got the system.
Well, Scott, get a good pH strip and tell me what it says, or send me a piece of tablet. So then it says, the tablet is placed in a special shower head and is immediately dissolved with fresh running water. Okay, what would the difference be than dissolving a tablet in the bathing beauty?
Right, like the bath bomb way.
The bath bomb way.
Yeah, it just seems to me there wouldn't be any difference at all.
So let me read you this statement.
Okay.
When the body absorbs bicarbonate ions through the skin, it causes the body to synthesize and release nitric oxide into the inner lining of the blood vessel.
But didn't they say that it can't pass through the lipid layer?
Well, yeah, when I look up the chemical definition of bicarbonate and look up bicarbonate ions, I run into this statement that bicarbonate ions cannot penetrate the lipid layer of the skin. Hmm. And so here I am. It causes the body to synthesize and release nitric oxide into the inner lining of the blood vessel. Which blood vessel?
Yeah, and how? I just don't know.
This process increases blood circulation and oxygen absorption.
Well, maybe if you were eating it, it might have a benefit like that.
Or maybe if you were, they use carbon dioxide in laser treatment of the skin.
Okay.
Actually, you know, like burning it into the skin.
Right.
But what is this? And then they say when oxygen is absorbed, so it this process increases blood circulation and oxygen absorption. That is so vague. Like, what kind of oxygen absorption are we talking about in the blood?
I would think
we're talking about in the blood from changing the blood composition by a dermal rinse.
Yeah, that doesn't seem likely.
I don't think so. I don't think so. When oxygen is absorbed, bicarbonate ions and carbon dioxide within the body are excreted as byproducts.
That's not to say that using a bath bomb through your bathing system or a bubbler, micro bubble technology system, and or through your shower head isn't going to make the skin better, because it might. But what they're claiming is probably not scientifically possible.
That's how I see it. I just don't see this as possible. I just don't. To me, that's pseudoscience. Those statements are pseudoscience. Now, this nice old Japanese guy, he worked his lifetime to develop this system, and he's developed something that he thinks makes a difference. But the explanation of how, I don't find any science, and I have looked and looked, and I know how to look in Google Scholar. I mean, I know what to ask it. I can't find any studies about bicarbonate, sodium bicarbonate, affecting the blood oxygen level.
When it's put through your skin?
Think it would have to be injected.
Injected or ingested or breathed in or something like that.
So it says this process helps in the maintaining of the pH levels in the blood and skin. Well, I I don't know about that.
Well, Scott is doing a test case. So he's got a really yeasty dog that he's going to run a test case on. And he said he would report back to the Groom Pod Facebook page. So hopefully he'll do that. And hopefully he'll take a little test strip and find out what the pH is. Because this is a new technology and it's very popular. It's very expensive if you buy the full system.
Well, I know it's way very expensive. And it says, they go on to say that the carbon dioxide, so they claim this is a form of carbon dioxide treatment. And that carbon dioxide, this carbon dioxide has the ability to remove mineral waste and clogged pores, which causes odor.
Well, now, people say the dogs are cleaner, but I just didn't know how.
But how, what is cleaner? Yeah. What is clean?
Right. Well, we had a discussion earlier this year about squeaky clean. You know,
they're not talking here really about cleaning the hair. They're talking about that it's cleaning the skin, the pores in the skin that causes odor, you know, give me a break. I don't know. Capril sulfonate is a surfactant, Susie.
So it's more cleaner.
It's a cleanser. You know, it's a synthesized synthetic cleanser. This is not healing waters.
It's just a different form.
This does not, I don't see how this duplicates the healing benefits of the healing baths of Nagayu, Japan.
Okay.
I don't get it. You know, like it might be a good cleaner, but.
And it may even help with the pH on some skin problems. Because, I mean, the claims are that the dogs get better, that the skin problems get better. We'll see. We will see. I won't see personally because I'm not going to spend the money on a system. But I might stick a bath bomb in with my bathing beauty because I happen to have gotten one for Christmas. And I don't know quite what to do with it because I don't take baths because it would mean holding still. And I don't do that. So perhaps a dog is going to get a bath bomb bath in my bathing beauty. Boy, there's a tongue twister. And see what happens there. I don't know.
And the other thing, you know, like what I might do, you can get a packet of grooming tabs, 12 of them, for like $26.
Oh, okay. That might dissolve faster than a bath bomb the size of a baseball.
And those things, but they crumble fast.
Oh, I've never used one because I don't take a bath.
Well, you want to clarify that. You don't clean yourself by taking a bath. You're a shower person. I know. I'm a shower person too. Although I like baths.
I don't.
So I might get a packet of the tabs and see if they help my two cockers with kind of problems using it as a rinse through the bathing beauty.
All right, guys, is that clear as mud?
we will continue. You know, like I'm going to continue to be with this subject because I'm very curious, and I'm curious that I just can't find the scientific basis to back up their claims.
All right. I concur. I like the science part. I like there to be scientific proof, even though testimonial proof is good too. I like the science to back it up. So there we go.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We we really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pods website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, off to our at the table segment, which is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And I just kind of wanted to talk about the expressions on faces, especially drop coat, but it can be any kind of coat. And sometimes some groomers have a tendency to create sad looking faces. I don't create sad looking faces because I remove most of the hair.
I've seen that. You just use that little tooth comb all over, don't you?
You bet I do. It's gone. Yeah. Take everything out that's going to tangle. And then you have happy face because there's no hair hanging down. But I think one of the things people do, and we've talked about it a little bit before, is not cut far enough into the corner of the eye when you're cutting across the bangs, right?
Right. Sometimes it leaves it too droopy, and we associate droopiness around the eyes with sad expression.
Yes, and I think it makes the dogs look older too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I like to open that spot up. That's one of the places that we can adjust the way the dog is kind of perceived. Another area that we can change to make the dog look happier are the ears. Sometimes I think really long ears make the dogs look older and sadder. And I think really short ears make the dogs look more puppy-like. What say you, Miss Barbara Bird?
Well, I think so too, except sometimes long ears can look very elegant.
I agree.
You know, so it's not a sure thing. But yeah, I think that longer beards...
Ah, beards, yeah.
Longer beards tend to, you know, like especially on small faced dogs like Maltese and Yorkies.
Yeah, do you remember when the style was really to leave all of that like hanging down
in front?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to because you know, there again, I had show grooming experience with lots of opsos before I became a groomer. And so that long bearded look, that was the look.
Right.
That was the expression of the Lhasa Apso. And, you know, like it took me years. I can say that with a squeaky voice. Years.
Years. It's taken me years to leave a little hair up there. Now I leave a little hair up there.
So, you know, like if I look at my Yorkie heads now and 10, 15 years ago, the biggest difference is that now I'm taking more off the bottom of the beard.
Yep.
Because that little shorter chin look, it just uplifts, you know,
yeah.
and it sends your eye to their eyes and not just looking at their droopy beards. Plus it's a lot cleaner. And once you get the owners used to that, it really can work. So yeah, that I like to think that I'm a master of cute face.
Yes, one of the things I noticed, master of cute face, was the way you trimmed the front of the beard right by the lips as you made it smile, kind of right up there. And I thought that was really clever. So don't leave all that stuff hanging forward, kind of comb it forward and then turn it into a little bit of a smile on the side of the dog. And it actually translates visually to in the front of the dog to a smile. That was a great tip.
That's my lip detailing that I do. And you have to be very good with your tools to do that. I've not had an accident. I've been doing that lip stuff, you know, and I love it because it just makes it look more human.
Yes.
People love that. People love that. Plus, there again, it's cleaner to keep that hair right under the nose and over the front lip and right under the bottom lip and keep that trimmed off. It's healthy.
And it makes their little face so kissable.
Yeah.
It's just kissable.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that I've kind of figured out cute.
Yes. I think you have figured out cute. All right, well, we've hit an hour, Barbara, so let's wrap this show up and put it in the can, eh? What? Besides, my cat is here annoying me.
trying to get your attention. All right. So next week, we will have our special guest on, Laura, who wrote the House Call Grooming book. I'm excited to talk to her about House Call Grooming. And have a fabulous week, Barbara. We don't have to get any older.
Birthdays for another year. That's over.
Yep.
I got tremendous. You just hit out from your birthday. I got hundreds of birthday wishes and, you know, heads up. Nice. Yeah, you know, I heard from Mario DeFonte. Mario DeFonte was one of the first people to encourage me to become a speaker. And it was because I showed up at his seminar with a djembe drum. And I jumped up there in some intermission and did some women on drums banging around and carrying on and entertaining. And he was captivated. Plus, I seemed to know what I was talking about. So he was instrumental in propelling me into a speaking career.
Well, we sure appreciate it, those of us who listen diligently to you. All right, guys. Well, meet us here next week again, same time, same place, for another thrilling episode of The Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves, groomers. See you next week.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.